Pennsylvania,
Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania,
Keystone of democracy.
I love your valleys and hills, I always will. You're the one great state that I am always for.
Again we present Pennsylvania, Keystone of democracy, an historical dramatization of the part our great state of Pennsylvania plays in the life and success of these 48 United States. This series is presented by the Pennsylvania Historical Commission in cooperation with the State Council of Defense in order to acquaint you better with the glorious history of our great Commonwealth. Today we review the thrilling story of the Liberty Bell and the role it played in the history of Pennsylvania, keystone of democracy.
Pennsylvania, and no matter where I roam, you will always be home, sweet home to me. Pennsylvania, my home.
Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof.
From the Holy Bible came these prophetic words, inscribed as if by magic on one of the most venerated historic relics of all times, the Liberty Bell. Today, as never before, the Liberty Bell continues to hold its proud place as the symbol of American freedom. The story of the Liberty Bell and its role of proclaiming liberty in Pennsylvania, as well as in the United Colonies, is one of the stirring tales in history. Historical evidence points to the fact that the Liberty Bell was ordered from England to mark the Golden Jubilee of William Penn's Charter of Liberty, given to the colony in 1701.
March 10th, 1753. The bell is come on shore and in good order. But in a few days after arrival, I had the mortification to hear that it was cracked by a stroke of the clapper. However, our judges here did generally agree that the sound of the bell was too high and the metal too brittle, whereupon an ounce and a half of copper to 1 pound of the old bell has been added to a new mixture undertaken by two of our ingenious local workmen, who this very day are ready to open the mold.
It was most unfortunate to have the bell cracked almost upon the first stroke of the clapper. It's fine a parcel store to undertake the casting of a new bell.
Methinks they undertook too much. Casting a bell is an art not yet mastered here in the colonies. For better, they sent the bell back to England.
See, they are even now making the mold off. It appears fine enough.
Judge not a bell by its shape or sheen.
See the letters, they are even better than the old bell. A masterly job indeed for our boys, Parson Stowe.
Come, let us hear it ring.
Splendid work. Let's hear it ring.
Yes, let's hear it.
Listen, they're going to ring it. Strike it a harder blow.
Yes, yeah, strike it a little harder.
Be cautious, lest it crack again.
Don't say I told you so, but the sound of that there bell reminds me of my horse kicking against the water trough.
I can make a more mortal sound by shooting off my musket.
Stung by the good-natured jibes of their neighbors, Pass and Stowe recast the bell a second time, making it 3 castings in all. According to the comment of the day, the third bell did not give entire satisfaction, but it was allowed to stay in place for fear another attempt might produce no better results. And so was born the Liberty Bell, which was soon to ring out on many great historic occasions.
Continental Congress of the United Colonies will now assemble. Hear ye the Continental Congress.
This is July 4th, 1776, ladies and gentlemen.
We are standing in front of the State House in Philadelphia. That bell you hear tolling above you is calling the delegates of the 13 United Colonies to a meeting of the Second Continental Congress. They have a tremendous decision to make today on a problem which is being bitterly argued in every town, village, and crossroads store from Massachusetts to Georgia. As the delegates approach, their faces are grim and serious. 3 days ago, they tentatively adopted a resolution made by Richard Henry Lee of Virginia stating that, quote, these colonies are, and of a right ought to be, free and independent states. A committee was appointed to draw up a list of persons and reasons to be called a Declaration of Independence. One man, Thomas Jefferson of Virginia, did most of the writing. He is coming up the steps now with John Adams of Massachusetts and the famous Dr. Benjamin Franklin of Philadelphia, who assisted him. Following behind are James Wilson and John Morton, two other Pennsylvanians who are strong supporters for independence. And here comes John Hancock, the energetic president of the Congress. King George of England has put a price on his head. He'll hang if he's caught. So will they all if General George Washington and his little, ragged, ill-equipped, untrained army of farmers and townsmen fail to check the experienced troops being sent to squash this rebellion. Some more delegates are now entering. There is Roger Sherman of Connecticut, John Witherspoon of New Jersey, Caesar Rodney of Delaware, Samuel Chase of Maryland, Button Gwinnett of Georgia, William Hooper of North Carolina, Edward Rutledge of South Carolina.
Mr. President.
The chair recognizes Mr. Dickinson.
Mr. President, I consider the acceptance of this declaration to be extremely dangerous. Nothing can be gained by abrogating forever our connection with the mother country. Without her symbol of authority, we will be lost. We're not prepared to venture out on our uncharted course alone. Why, think of it, gentlemen. A victory will lead us only to mob rule and continual internal strife, and a defeat to inescapable punishment.
Mr. President!
The chair recognizes Mr. Wilson of Pennsylvania.
Since our towns have been burned, our people killed, and the heavy hand of tyrannical oppression laid upon us, I fail to see how we could suffer more by severing our political connections. I say to you all, why then do we longer delay? Why still deliberate? Let this happy day give birth to an American republic. Let her rise not to devastate and conquer, but to establish a nation of peace and law and human brotherhood, which will be the hope and inspiration for millions yet unborn. The dark, gloomy eyes of Europe are upon us. Let us this day light and forever hold high the torch of freedom and independence!
While it was on Thursday, July 4th, 1776, that the declaration was adopted, it was not until the following Monday, July 8th, that the document was made public.
What is the meaning of the great crowd gathering at the State House yard, friend?
Has thou not heard? Liberty and independence ought to be declared. But come, let us make our way a little closer to the platform so that we can hear the declaration being read.
It appears all the high officials are assembled on the platform. It is most unusual. That man moving forward now, who is he?
Methinks that's Colonel Nixon, John Nixon, appointed by the sheriff, perhaps, to the reading of the declaration. He has a strong voice, you know.
Colonel Nixon. A merchant in the city, is he not? Come here from our neighboring town of Westchester.
A declaration by the representatives of the United States of America. In general, Congress assembled. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them together, and to assume the powers of the earth, the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind required that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty...
This is John Adams, Braintree, Massachusetts. My dear wife,
This will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward forevermore. You will think me transported with enthusiasm, but I am not. I am well aware of the toil, blood, and treasure that it will cost us to maintain this declaration and support and defend these states. Yet through the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light and glory. I can see that the end is worth all means, and that posterity will triumph in that day's transaction, even though we should rue it, which I trust in God we shall not.
And our sacred honor.
With this ringing challenge to the deep hopes and aspirations of all mankind, the United States of America was established in the year of 1776. It proclaimed to all the oppressed people of the world that here was one nation where the common man, not just the rich and powerful, might find his belief in the immortality of his soul expressed in the dignity and worth of human living.
The Liberty Bell represents today the great ideals upon which this nation was founded.
Like the bell, our basic liberties were first cast in England. But like the bell, they had to be recast to fit the mold of the American way of life. Parson Stowe remade an English bell to give it a richer, deeper sound. The Founding Fathers rewrote the English Magna Carta, the Petition of Rights, and the Bill of Rights into the American Declaration of Independence.
The history of Pennsylvania and our country is an unbroken story of the struggle and sacrifice made by millions of Americans to extend the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness to every inhabitant of the land.
Today, America has been given a great privilege and solemn trust, created out of the hopes of mankind and dedicated to the fulfillment of those hopes. Our nation has been called upon to give everything that it has, that the ideals which gave it birth may continue to live for all mankind. To win national victory is today, as always, the role of Pennsylvania, keystone of democracy.
Pennsylvania, you the land that I adore. I love your valleys and hills, I always will. You're the one great state that I am always for.
Next week, we will bring you another thrilling episode in the series, Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy, presented by the Pennsylvania Historical Commission in cooperation with the State Council of Defense. Do your part in our great national struggle. Conserve essential war materials, prevent waste, and buy defense bonds and saving stamps. Tune in again next week to hear Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy.
Pennsylvania, my